God bless you. As we zoom in, are you ready for a zoom in? Tomorrow begins another event in the life of the church. All of us know. Tomorrow we are starting our prayer and fasting. And when you scan through the Bible, you realize that there are three things you will notice. Number one, people fasted for various reasons. People fasted for various reasons. Various reasons push people into fasting. Hallelujah. Number two, you realize that anytime they declared a fast, they were so serious about it. Seriousness. And number three, you realize that every fast that was done in the Bible had results. Yes, had results. This morning, I came not to preach a new message to you, but I came to encourage you. I came to encourage you because if it was done in the Bible, and as we also do it, we will receive the same result. Hallelujah. Now, I was, you know, watching a video of Sam Adeyemi, the leadership, you know, expert. And he made a statement. He said that believers celebrate efforts, not results. Believers, we celebrate what? Efforts, but we don't celebrate results. And he gave an example. For instance, the church is doing maybe a 30-day fast. Somebody, at the end of the fast, somebody will be so proud to say, in fact, I did the fasting from 6 to 6. I was always in church. But after all, what was the result? What was the result? Amen. And tomorrow we are beginning another exercise, but I don't want it to be a religious exercise that we go through and we have nothing to show. We have nothing to show. Aren't we tired of doing fastings and not having any results? I don't know about you, but me, I'm tired. It has become like a religious exercise. So it is our time for our 14-day prayer and fasting. And we just go through it without any seriousness, without any reason. And at the end of it all, there's nothing to show. This time is not going to be so. I said, this time it is not going to be so. Why are you fasting? That is my topic for today. Why are you fasting? As a church, why are we fasting? As a private individual, why are you fasting? Because if you don't have a reason for fasting, then you better don't start. Because I checked through the Bible, and any time there was a fasting, there was a reason. And so, as a church, I believe that our daddy has a reason for what? Declaring this fast. And we just went through 31st night. We had our team declared. And I believe that it is the heart of our Father. It is in the heart of our Father that every member of CEM will experience increase this year. So number one reason why the church is in fasting is that we want to see increase. Increase is our theme for the year. And we want to see increase in our finances. We want to see increase in every aspect of our lives. Now, let me declare certain, you know, the essence of fasting. The essence of fasting, number one, is to substitute your food and pleasurable things with the reading, studying, and meditation of the Word of God. Substituting your food with the Word of God. And the Word of God, you know, a lot of us go through fasting without even reading our Bible. All we are thinking about is that, Pastor Mike, where are the prayer topics? But we don't read the Word. You know, the reason why, you know, we need to substitute our food with the reading of the Word of God is because there are two things. Number one, when you eat food, food feeds your flesh. But when you read the Word of God, you feed your spirit. And so during the times of fasting, The essence of fasting is that you substitute your food with what? With the reading of the word of God. And I also added pleasurable things. Today, there are so many pleasurable things that we need to fast on. It used to be only food, but now there are so many things. Some of us have to do social media fasting. Yes. You want to tell yourself that I'm substituting my social media activities with the reading of the word of God. I'm substituting some of the useless friends who come around me. And by the time they are going, nothing, you know, significant happens to my life. All those people, I'm cutting them off. So the essence of fasting is substitute your food with your food and pleasurable things with the reading of the word of God. Not only reading, but studying it. Not only studying it, but meditating on it. And that is one of the reasons, one of the ways by which we can have an effective fasting. And so during this fasting, every one of us, let the Bible be your friend. There are so many Bible study plans on internet. Please download and be serious with the fasting. Hallelujah. Another essence of fasting is to limit the attention we receive and give to the public so that we can have a focused fellowship with God. To limit the attention we receive from the public and to also what? You know, and receive from the public so that we can have a focused fellowship with God. Most of us, we do our fasting without any time of fellowship with God. There are so many things that distract us. But the essence, was Jesus driven by the Holy Ghost to go into the wilderness? He could have fasted being among the people. But the Bible says in Luke chapter 1 verse 4, he says he was, when he returned from Jordan, he was driven or led by the Spirit into the wilderness to fast. Why didn't he fast in his house? Why didn't he fast whilst he was doing his ministry? Because he wanted to, you know, get away from all the distractions. During this period of time, I came to encourage you. Limit the attention you give to the public. Limit the attention you receive from the public. Because your focus is on God. Your focus is on God. Hallelujah. Are we together here? Another essence of fasting is for us to seize the opportunity to show the love of God and to help those who are helpless. Amen? To help those who are helpless. During our times of fasting, God enjoins us, encourages us to go into acts of kindness. To show kindness. And so when you read Isaiah 58, verse 6 and 7, it talks about the kind of fast God has chosen. It was not what the people were doing, but God had chosen a kind of fast. And said, is it not, you know, to lose the bands of injustice? Is it not to let the oppressed go free? Is it not, you know, to give your bread unto those who are hungry? Is it not to clothe those who are naked? Is it not to home or accommodate those who are homeless? This is the kind of fasting. So you can be fasting and you are so wicked. Your wickedness has not left you. You are so wicked. Meanwhile, you tell yourself that your church, you are in a fast. You don't give anything to anybody. You don't help anybody. During this time of fasting, it is time for us to show the love of God. It is time for us to let somebody know, because that is what attracts God. It is not the things that we do. It is not the hunger strike we go. Some of us, we go for hunger strike. Hallelujah. Our focus is not on God. Our focus is on the food that we have missed from morning, afternoon, evening. So we pack them in the fridge. Then when it is time for breaking the fast, you spread yourself. Haven't you gotten to that point where you are fasting and your mind is on that food that you miss? You say, honey, put that food in the fridge. Wrong focus. Hallelujah. You are just waiting for time, like a certain group of people I know. When they are fasting, they are waiting for the bell. As soon as the bell rings, hey, helter skelter. Certain, I just said certain people. It means that when you are in that state, it means that you didn't actually do the fast. Because if you did the fast and read the word of God and focus on God, the anointing, the presence of God mortifies that desire and you realize that you can go on and on and on. But it's because most of the times our focus is somewhere. Amen? Anytime, another essence of fasting is to tell God or to show God our total independence on Him in a situation. Most of the times when the people fasted, they wanted God to know that we totally depend on you concerning this situation. Another essence of fasting is to tell, to indicate that God, we need your divine influence over the affairs of humanity. Yes. When you are fasting and you are coming before God, what they are telling God is that I need divinity to influence humanity because I cannot do it without you. Hallelujah. Anytime you fast, it's a sign of humility. It's a sign that you are humbling yourself before God. This morning, why are you fasting? Why are you fasting? As a church, why are we fasting? As an individual, why are you fasting? You must get on board with a particular, you know, a particular agenda. Because I have checked and seen that anytime the people are serious and fasted, God intervened. And this morning I came to announce to you, if Daniel fasted and an answer was given, is Daniel and his colleagues fasted and the revelation to the interpretation of the dream was given, is if Esther fasted and the plot of the enemy did not come through, if Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah fasted and God took over the battle, this morning I came to announce to you, I say I announce to somebody, as you get into this fast, may Jehovah answer you in the name of Jesus. I declare divine intervention in that situation. In the name of Jesus, God will intervene. You will see the glory of God. Hallelujah. Why are you fasting? One of the reasons why we must fast as a church and individuals is for us to increase in the anointing. To increase in the anointing. Fasting increases anointing. And that is why Jesus, before he began his public ministry, he was driven to go and fast. And the reason was that he wanted to increase in the anointing. So after Jesus went through the period of fasting, the Bible says the enemy came to tempt him. After the temptation, in Luke chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible says, and Jesus returned to in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And there went out his fame throughout all the regions round about. He returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit is the anointing. It's the anointing. And people of God, you cannot start anything as a believer without seeking the anointing. You cannot. If you really want to make an impact in life, in whatever, you cannot start anything without seeking the anointing. It is the anointing that makes a difference between Christians and other religious bodies. It's the anointing. When you have the anointing, you have the power. When you have the anointing, you have sweatless victories. When you have the anointing, you are catapulted from ordinary to extraordinary. If you have the anointing, you have the supernatural ability of God. And that is why Jesus had to be driven. And when he went, the Bible says he returned in the power of the Spirit. This morning, after this 14 days prayer and fasting, I see somebody returning with the anointing. Somebody say, I believe it. I receive it. And I behave it. Hallelujah. The anointing. Fasting increases anointing, whether you like it or not. And Jesus knew, knowing about that, after he himself went and waited for the anointing, when he was departing in Acts chapter 1, after being assembled with them, the advice he gave them was that, go back and wait in Jerusalem until you receive the power. Most of the times when we talk about the anointing, people think that the anointing is a reserve of only pastors. No, the anointing is for all believers. Amen? The anointing is for ministry. The anointing is for your career. You may be a lawyer. You may be a doctor. What will make you different from the rest is the anointing. And that is why we all need the anointing. Hallelujah. It was after Jesus had gone and came back filled with the Spirit that he now confirmed that he was ready to execute the assignment God had given unto him. So in the same Luke chapter 4, verse 18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Hallelujah. To preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set them that are the captives, and then free that are bruised. Hallelujah. It was after his encounter, in the same chapter, after that encounter, Jesus now said, I am now ready to execute my assignment. The anointing is given to us so that we can execute any assignment God has given unto us. And I have always said that you may not be called into ministry, but whatever you are doing in life, if you use it as a point of contact to glorify God, to preach the gospel, it's a calling. Yes, it's a calling. If you're a footballer and use your footballing to influence people for Christ, it's a calling. If you're a medical doctor and you use your profession to promote Christ, it's a calling. And that is why you need the anointing. So fasting increases anointing. Don't leave it for only pastors to go to the mountain and go and fast because we want to increase in anointing and you are sitting down observing. The anointing is for all of us. And in any case, the anointing is not the oil you think. The anointing is a supernatural ability that he pours into a man so that he will be able to do something that he wouldn't have been able to do with your natural powers. That is the anointing. It's a supernatural anointing. And so during this prayer of fasting, somebody receive the anointing. Increase in the anointing. As you return back to your office, they will see that an anointing has entered into this office. When there is a difficult case to handle by the anointing, may you be the one to solve it in the name of Jesus. The anointing is a spirit. It's a spirit. And when that anointing comes upon you, you become another man. The anointing will help us to fulfill our ministry. I remember Acts chapter 10, verse 38. The Bible says, you know, how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and power, with the Holy Ghost and power, that he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. It was because of the anointing Jesus could do good. It was because of the anointing he had power over devils. Most of us, anytime there's any, even a cockroach passing across our room, it is something else. Where is your anointing? Will you have to call the senior apostle? Where is your anointing? So, fasting increases the anointing. It increases. Jesus was a typical example. Though he was God, but he still had to go. and wait and fast. And when he went and waited and fasted, the Bible says he returned in the power of the Spirit. May you return in the power of the Spirit. May you return in the power of the Spirit. After 14 days, may you return in the power of the Spirit. In the power of the Spirit to handle difficult situations, to handle day-to-day challenges. In the mighty name of Jesus, who am I speaking to? Yes. And believers, we cannot do without the anointing. No, you can't. You cannot. If you see anybody who is making impact, it's the anointing. It's the anointing. So as a church, may your focus, you may have your private reason, because you must have a reason. But as a church, as believers, there is one thing that is lacking. A lot of believers lack the anointing. And because we don't seek for it, Jesus went and sought for it. The apostles went and waited in the upper room, and the Bible says the anointing came upon them in Acts chapter 2. When the Spirit of God came upon them, they became different people. These were ordinary people who could not cast out devils. But after Jesus left and they waited, and the Bible says as they were waiting in the upper room, something, a mighty rushing wind filled the place that they were sitting. And the Bible says that a cloven, something like cloven of tongues of fire sat upon each one of them. And they began to speak in different tongues. And right after their check, you will see them moving in power. You will see them healing people. You will see them, their shadows healing people. It's because of the anointing. This year, are you starting a business? You must wait for the anointing. Are you starting a ministry? Are you going to undertake a certain project? You must wait on God for the anointing. Because when you receive the anointing, it makes life easy. It makes ministry easy. It makes everything easy. Somebody put your hands together for Jesus. Are you being blessed? Are you receiving something? Another reason why we must fast is that when you pray and fast, you suppress the flesh and empower the spirit to resist temptations. Temptations are out there waiting for us. Yes, all of us. Especially after you have finished your 14 days and fasting, the devil will present a certain tantalizing temptation. Yes. But woe betides you. If you do not, you know, build your spirit man, you will fall. Why do I say that? After Jesus fasted, you know, the enemy came and tempted him. The enemy came and tempted him with food. Food that causes the flesh to dominate. The enemy came and tempted him. He also tempted him in material things and worldliness. He tempted him concerning pride. But you know what? Jesus was able to resist that temptation because he had just returned from a fasting where he had fed his spirit man. Every day there is a kind of war that goes on in our lives. Every single day. Every single day. And it is a war between your flesh and your spirit. A war between your flesh and your spirit every single day. But if the flesh will win, it depends on you. If the spirit will win, it depends on you. Jesus came out. The devil says, you are going to undertake a spiritual exercise, eh? I'm coming after you. If you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. It says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of what? God. A lot of us have fed our flesh so much so that when the temptations present themselves, immediately we fall. Some of us, Grandpa, we have even programmed our minds to fall into it. Yes. Do you know that Most of the sins that, you know, you fall in, some of them you have been thinking about them. So it becomes a seed in your mind. So you program yourself, and the spirit, the brain takes it, so that when that thing is presented, you have the willpower to resist. I remember when I was not married, I had programmed my mind that I wouldn't sleep with any lady. So the willpower was there. There were a lot of presentations and all that, but the willpower was there. Yeah, tantalizing presentations. But the fact of the matter was that my brain was already programmed. And because of that, there was nothing. You come before me, you do whatever, the brain will not respond. But if I was nurturing and meditating, and as soon as it presents itself, then I fall. That is why you need the word of God. Your brain will be filled with the word of God. Your brain is programmed with the word of God. And so when the enemy presents that temptation, your spirit man is, you know, is so alive, is so strong. Your flesh nature is mortified, is deadened, so that you cannot respond. This I say then, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these ones are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led with the spirit of God, ye are not under the law. And it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are this. And he said, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. And he says, these are the works of the flesh. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, you know, variance, emulations. Wrath, you know, strife, seditions, heresies. And he talks about, you know, envyings, murders. He talks about drunkenness and reveling. Such things, the Bible says, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen? And he contrasted it with the fruit of the Spirit. Now the works of the flesh are this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. And say, those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affection and the lust. Hallelujah. And when you look at this war that is going on, if you don't involve in fasting, you will not be able to overcome. A lot of us are battling with the works of the flesh. Whether you like it or not, we must preach it. It is a reality. A lot of us are battling with the things of the flesh because we have fed the flesh so much with social media, with Facebook, with Instagram. We have fed, so the flesh is so powerful, and the spirit is just, you know, anytime they go into the ring, you know, not the... The flesh will just give the spirit one blow and it's down. Then you wake up. It is all because of you. You are the reason why the spirit is not winning. You are the reason. How many of us read our Bibles after Sunday service? Don't go there. How many of us open our Bibles like we open our phones? And so if Jesus came with in the power of the Spirit and was doing greater things, can you be like Jesus? You can. Amen. During this fasting, There is a particular works of the flesh that you are going to battle with, you know, with in the name of Jesus. And I declare that as you go through that fasting, if it is an addiction to pornography, may the Spirit of God cause you to come out. In fact, in today's, you know, society, the problem of pornography is so serious. It's not only members, pastors. Pastors check in hotels where there's Wi-Fi. And when the people go and check after they have left, they see things. They see things. It is one of the things that is battling our in Christianity. Pornography, because what our eyes are feeding on is feeding the flesh. And when the flesh is fed, we cannot walk in the spirit. May somebody help us. And may God help somebody. I say, may God help somebody. That when we go to our secret cupboards, the skeletons we have in our secret cupboards, may God help us to overcome. I see you becoming an anointed woman of God, an anointed Christian, that as you are walking, the, you know, power just comes out of you. This one I'm preaching, it is not like I am super. I'm also battling on mine. So it's a word of encouragement. The works of the flesh are manifest, and these are them. Adultery. Now, adultery is so common, especially in the corporate world. If you're a beautiful white woman with a ring, they don't respect it. That is what they even like, that you are wearing ring. So they hide under it and they are having affairs. Somebody said that if God was, you know, we were supposed to go and do DNA tests concerning our children, there you will realize that things are happening. Things are happening. Look, it is something, you know, fornication is so easy. There used to be this girl, you know, one day she broke down and came to me and said, Pastor Charles, I'm now tired. Why? Because we will be doing fasting, prayer and fasting. After we have ended prayer and fasting, right from prayer and fasting, she walks into a man's room to go and sleep with a man. Somebody who has finished anointing, you know, Pastor Mike has laid hands. We have cast out devils. Immediately, she walks. And then she came and said, Pastor Charles, I need help. Somebody needs help. And during this fasting, may God give you help. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. How many minutes have I left? Five? No, it can't be. It can't be. Is it 9 o'clock? Are you enjoying the service? I said, somebody needs help. Amen. I don't know the area you need help, but during this fasting, God will help you to walk in the spirit so that the flesh will be defeated. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me take my third one and then we'll close. As a mic, I had seven, but my honorable timekeeper says, hallelujah. You know, life is a journey. Every week is a journey. Every month is a journey. The year is a journey. It means that when you wake up in a particular week, you are going through the week. In a particular month, you are going through the month. And in a particular year, you are going through the year. It is a journey. And you don't know what is in store, what the enemy has planned. And that is why we must behave like Ezra. When Ezra was given the opportunity to bring some of the people in captivity back to Jerusalem from Babylon, the Bible says he proclaimed a fast. Why? He proclaimed a fast so that they will afflict themselves before their God and seek help from him for their lives, for their children, and for their substances. so that God will help them against their enemies in the way. Because they were going to travel. And you know, he had gone to meet Papa with the king. Say, oh king, don't be afraid. We, our God is with us. So we don't need protection, but he was afraid. So in Ezra chapter 8, verse 21 to 23, it says, and so I proclaim a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, and to seek the right, to seek of him the right way for us and our little ones and our substances. To seek help from God against the enemy. In those days, the people were so barbaric. So when you are traveling, as soon as they see a group of people traveling, what they do is that they attack you and loot you. And they had a lot of substance. They had their families to protect. So they were journeying through this dangerous journey. And they had to what? Fast. This year we must fast. We must fast against the enemy. Any ambushment the enemy has set for us, God will give us the right way. We must fast that God will protect our properties. Haven't you heard that people had properties and fire just gutted the whole building and everything was gone? Businesses have been burnt down by fires. Cars have been what? Burnt. Things have happened. You don't know what is ahead. Your family is important. They fasted for the protection of their families. They fasted for the protection of their substances. And as we go through the year, as we pray and fast, God will give us help. He says, I was ashamed to require from the king a band of what? Soldiers and horsemen. Because we had said unto the king that, you know, the hand of the Lord is upon them for good that seek the Lord. And his wrath and power is against those who forsake him. And we fasted and sought the Lord for this, and he was entreated of us. Look, one thing I know is that I thank God. I don't know what is in store for me. But Pastor Sechi, I thank God that I know the God who knows the future. Yes. I know the God who knows the future. So why not me seek help? That if there's any eventuality on along the way, God will protect me. He will protect my family. He will protect my properties. This morning, these are just some few reasons I've given you. But as an individual, why are you fasting? Why are you fasting? Are you fasting for divine intervention? Are you fasting because there is a subtle spiritual battle you are involved in? And this spiritual battle is so huge that you cannot, like Jehoshaphat in 2nd, you know, Chronicles chapter 20. It was a battle that he could not, but he fasted and there was victory. Some of us must even fast as a form of service to God. Amen. If you don't have a reason, let me give you a reason. Fast as a service unto God. Because it happened in the Bible. There was one prophetess called Anna. And the Bible says that she never departed. She prayed and fasted for 84 years. Is there? 84 years. Luke chapter 2, verse 36 and 37. 82, after she married, the husband died. After 7 years, the husband died and she devoted herself. 84 years, she fasted and prayed in the temple. What was she praying for? She was praying as a form of service and devotion to God. She was praying for the priest. She was praying for the house of God. She was praying that things would go on well with the church. If you don't have a reason, may I suggest that you fast as a service, as your self-contribution. Put your hands together for Jesus. Rise up on your feet. Rise up. Rise up. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, this year, as I partake
in this prayer and fasting, help me by your grace to be serious. As I fast for a reason, answer me, O God. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. Receive the grace. Nothing will cause you not to be serious this time round. In the name of Jesus. Grace. Receive grace in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, let not this fast, O God, just be a religious exercise. Let me, O God, have something, O God, tangible. Somebody lift up your voice. Receive the grace. Receive the grace for an effective fasting. Receive the grace. This time it will not be a mere exercise.
Lastly,
I want you to pray. Lift up your voice. Jesus. This one, I want you to pray quietly within the privacy of your heart. If there is anything that you are battling with, fighting with, as you bow down your head, I want you to communicate to God. Bow down your head. Yes, this is just in your heart. Tell God that this morning I have heard your message. I want the strength to overcome this works of the flesh.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Quietly bow down your head. Communicate with God. Communicate with God. Yes, Lord. There is power in the house. There is power in the service. If there's something that is a thorn in your flesh, works of the flesh, you are praying that, Lord, this time run, I shall be free. I shall be free. I receive the grace to be free in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.